When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And is perfect for women's wrestlers. I'm not.
Right.
But I also don't know how you can objectively look at the two biggest wrestling products in North America today and tell me that AEW, outside of you get to hang out with your friends and feel good about hanging out with your friends,
right,
is a better opportunity to you than the WWE, which, I'm sorry, they're putting better time and effort into women's wrestling than AEW. Look at the Royal Rumble. The better Royal Rumble for the last 2 years has been the women. And the bigger impact appearances have been women.
No pun intended.
The men's Royal Rumble was blah. It was, as I describe it on Bandwagon Nerds, it was fine. It was fine.
I don't even know if I'd call it fine.
No, it wasn't. It was boring. Say it was bad. It just wasn't like... Because, and this is what I wanted to get to when it may have been a little more timely as I looked at these two. There are, there's been a lot of talk about like the WWE and like who's really a star and what's top heavy or not. There was a lot of nothing feeling particularly special out of the Royal Rumble in terms of like when somebody would show up, it was okay. Like there weren't nearly the sort of reactions that pops, and some of that's where it's placed in the card, like that is the last match and people are tired, but and the women went first and they hit you hard with just like surprise that kind of energized that match on the whole. But just the way that women's Royal Rumble was booked, the way that multiple women came out to big reactions. They set up all kinds of big moments. You know, I talked about it in, you know, to you just sort of like Jordan Grace, who doesn't even work for their company yet.
She will someday.
Was the biggest, in my opinion, was the biggest star of the Royal Rumble. Cause you look at, they faced her off with like, and not just like she worked with somebody in a corner. Like they did multiple spots with her facing off with another member of the WWE roster in the middle of the ring. And Michael Cole is sitting there and Corey Graves and Pat McAfee are talking up all of these. Look at this matchup. Look at this matchup. Look at this one. Mm-hmm. And then you walk out with Bianca Belair.
And she won out in most of those confrontations.
Yes. She was... You know, she was dominant over and over and over again. You know, Naomi came back, but you come back from your hiatus from the WWE. They talk about her time in TNA, how she was a former TNA champion. She goes an hour, Greg.
Yeah.
She goes an hour. You just came back. You know, you know who are the losers out of the Women's Royal Rumble actually this year? The NXT women. They were there. They were late. Tiffany Stratton.
And that was weird. When Roxanne Perez came out at like 27 or whatever, I was like, well, she's probably the only one. Because why wouldn't you space them out better? And then Tiffany Stratton's 29. But yeah, it was. And the men's Royal Rumble match, first of all, let me just do this.
What do you guys want to talk about?
So what I want, I'm recording now, by the way. So what I want to talk about is you go back to the women. And you talk about how
the Monster
booked.
Energy AMA Supercross season races into Glendale. Okay.
Not that I used YouTube or anything, but
no way.
Let's go ahead and put that down. The thing about for me with WWE and the women and all that. They book women better than AEW does. Yep. But here's the thing. Since Triple H has taken over, they're not even booking the women all that great. Like, they're really not. Women, from what I understand, I haven't done the research. Someone else said this. And I won't name them just in case that they're wrong. But supposedly, women have not main evented a WWE PLE since WrestleMania 37. Like, and not just WrestleMania, but any premium live event. Yep. That was pre-Triple H taking over. So they've been prominently featured. They've main evented television, all that. And that's probably wrong. They probably main evented somewhere along the way. But they were main eventing more before Triple H took over than they are now. Maybe we need Stephanie to come back. So and I guess there's rumors that might happen. But and that would be, I would welcome that. I think that'd be great. But so while he's doing amazing things, he's actually not doing as well as they have done in the past. Like, their use of women right now isn't as good as it has been in the past. It's still better than anybody else except for maybe Impact Wrestling or TNA. But I'm not even sure about that. But AEW still barely has one women's match per show, and it really only tells one right. woman's story at any given time, at least somewhat well. And so that's why, yeah, I would go to WWE. But going back to the Japan thing, I mean, three of their four champions on television on Raw and SmackDown that are women are from Japan. So it's like, what do yep. you, I mean, it's there, and they're telling a major story with Bayley and with, you know, Damage Control. So it's, yeah, but money talks and whatever, but Naomi just came back, like you said, and she was amazing. And Jordynne Grace, the Jordynne Grace thing. So when Naomi was introduced, not only did Michael call her a former TNA Knockouts champion, he called her a former TNA Knockouts world champion. TNA doesn't even call them that.
Right.
like he put him over better than TNA does. And then when Jordynne Grace came out, and I saw the report earlier in the day, so I figured it was going to happen. But yeah, it's a huge deal. And here's why it's a huge deal.
Right.
Mickie James did it, I think, in 2020. It was announced ahead of time. In the graphics, she had the belt. But she's a WWE legend already before this even happens. And from what I understand, when Vince McMahon, when they were running over guest appearances in the Rumble and Mickie James came up, Vince McMahon didn't even know she was in Impact Wrestling, nor did he know she was a Knockouts champion. And he was fine with it because they all get it. They all get where TNA is, where Impact is, and where WWE is. And they're not trying to compete and clash, unlike AEW. You know, right. when they wanted, you know, Billy Gunn for something in a Hall of Fame, Tony Khan insisted on having like a lower third the whole time advertising AEW. Like, it's just stupid. Like, why would WWE do that with one of their major events? I get Tony Khan asking for it, but he maybe could have gotten something else. But that's also like when WWE got Ric Flair from TNA and Dixie Carter wanted Christian Cage, when she could have asked for The Undertaker or John Cena. Like, but she right. wanted Christian Cage. Because she's Dixie Carter. And we love Dixie Carter. But Tony Khan's basically Dixie Carter. Just a little bit smarter on wrestling.
And on coke.
But not smarter about, you know, business.
Sorry.
I know, I actually glossed over the coke thing, even though, you know, I love those references so much for Tony Khan. But the men's Royal Rumble match, it was boring. It was basic. It was a lot right. of paint by numbers. And I think some of that had to do with same guy winning 2 years in a row. And no Brock, because supposedly Brock was going to be in it. You always get the big Brock reaction. Braun did amazing. If Braun was really the substitute for Brock, which seems odd if he's suddenly getting called up to the main roster and they have plans, like, it just seems odd that would happen. And I guess Tiffany Stratton's getting called up to the main roster as well. And good for all of them. They definitely deserve it. I still think Braun should have been brought in as like a henchman for Roman Reigns at some point. Like, that would be...
Right.
Literally catapult him. And people are suggesting that he beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
The two highlights of the Men's Royal Rumble, in my opinion, were Braun's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he looked like $1 million in his 5 minutes. Like, they let him run roughshod, and that was exactly what you needed to do with him, regardless of what the plan was. I personally think he was always part of the plan to be in the Royal Rumble.
I do too.
Maybe not necessarily what he did. Or I don't even think that. I think he still did what he would do. Like, if you were going to bring Braun Breaker in, you don't bring him in and be like, oh, hey, look, here's this NXT guy. He's an up-and-comer, and he doesn't do anything. No, you have him do what he did.
Right. Yeah.
Regardless. So I don't really completely buy the whole Brock Lesnar replacement thing in the way that it's being made out to be.
I don't either.
I just don't.
Because like, did you need JD McDonagh in the Rumble? Like, yeah, he got.
No.
But did he get speared by Braun on the floor? Like, I don't even remember. He got the shit kicked out of him by somebody.
And the other highlight for me, and this is just the seriously, again, just a guy we talk about all the time, and I still can't believe we keep talking about him the way we talk about him. Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Uh-huh.
One, eliminating Braun Breaker. He went 30 minutes, dude. He went 30 minutes before he got eliminated by Punk. He outlasted every other member of the Judgment Day in terms of time in the ring. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you needed everybody from the Judgment Day in the Royal Rumble either. Like,
I don't think you needed Damian Priest in there at all.
In fact, I don't think it made
a lot of sense to have the Money in the Bank holder entering into the Royal Rumble. He already has a title shot.
Why and he didn't do another? Much. He was in the final six. So yeah, that's great. Yep. But like, he didn't really do all that much. And Balor was out earlier. It was just very interesting. I will say this though. I love the idea that, you know, Dom was supposed to eliminate Brock and then Brock was going to beat the crap out of him at Elimination Chamber. That makes sense. Brock, I don't believe, was advertised for Elimination Chamber. If you're going to have Brock Lesnar at Elimination Chamber, you might want to advertise him ahead of time because you're selling tickets to a stadium show. It's just like people keep saying Roman's going to wrestle Rock in Australia. Like, it's in a few weeks. Like, if Roman was going to be on the show, he would have been announced by now because it's a stadium show in Australia. Rhea Ripley should main event that. Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax should be the last match on the show at Elimination Chamber. Like, that's what they should do, and she'll get a hero's welcome, and she'll deserve every second of it, and it'll be great. But I want to go back to something that we were talking about between the men and the women, because it was very telling to me, and I didn't think about it until the Men's Royal Rumble. Towards the end of the Men's Royal Rumble match, they showed Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in luxury suites watching to see who won the Royal Rumble.
Right.
I don't believe I saw Rhea Ripley and Io Sky in luxury suites watching the Women's Royal Rumble.
No.
Again, it's that I feel like they would have done that in the past. They would have had that symmetry, and they're just not. I as much as I praise what WWE does for women's wrestling, I think they've actually taken a step back for what they do for women's wrestling. They're still the leader.
That you look at it that way, because I looked at it in terms of the stories that they were telling. And like, I get what you're saying about sort of the look, but when you consider that Io Sky is part of, you know, Damage Control and the relationship with Bayley, and Rhea Ripley basically has made it a point to be like, everything's beneath me, I don't need to be around for this. I actually she was there. Noticed it and it didn't bother me. I didn't say she wasn't there. I was like, she just didn't need, like, it wasn't worth her time to sit in a box.
It wasn't really worth Roman's either. Roman was only there so that Cody could point to him.
You're setting up for a moment there, Greg, and you know it. Like, it wasn't to point at the WrestleMania sign. It was for Cody to point at Roman Reigns and, quote, finish the story.
You're exactly right. You're 100% right. The difference is I do believe at some point in time they would have had somebody there who would have said, okay, since we're doing that, we should now also do this.
And you know, I think that's a quibble, though. I wouldn't declare it a big step back on the women's division.
It's just another example of a step back, like leaving Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus off of SummerSlam. Like, that match should have taken place at SummerSlam, and there was only one women's match at SummerSlam because of that. I believe there might have been two. I don't know. I got to go back and look. But it's just the effort. And again, women haven't main event WrestleMania. That's why I keep telling everyone Becky and Rhea are going to main event night one of WrestleMania, because are they really going to go 3 years without having women main event WrestleMania? That seems like a stretch to me for them to do that, and not a good stretch at all. And I've heard more people saying that now that Punk's gone, they believe that women will get. Let me ask you this question. Had CM Punk not been injured, and say he went on to win Elimination Chamber and challenge Seth Rollins, what kind of message would Triple H be sending to the locker room if CM Punk got to come back and main event WrestleMania?
That'd be a horrible message.
After all the shit he said, leaving.
That's a horrible look.
Like, Cody debuted in the middle of night one when he made his WWE debut.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look at the CM Punk injury and how I actually – I'm not – everybody knows how I feel about Phil Brooks. Yes. I'm not happy that Phil Brooks got injured.
No.
I don't want to be very, very clear about that. When I argue that him getting hurt and being out 4 to 6 months may actually have been the best thing for creating a little bit of air and mystery around WrestleMania, even to the extent that we are looking at Cody Rhodes has a choice to make, and we all know what the choice is going to be, but you can actually throw a legitimate seed of doubt even amongst the most stalwart of internet spark, because the guy that everybody assumed was going to take on Seth Rollins is now out of the picture. And so you can actually play up a Cody Rhodes has a decision to make moment. Even if you really know what it is, you can actually build it and almost legitimize it a little bit in a way, because there's no CM Punk to take on Seth Rollins right now. So you can, it gives you a little wiggle. I don't mind it.
They shouldn't have had CM Punk take on Seth Rollins in the main event of Night 1 regardless. And here's why I say that. This is another...
Oh, yeah. I
got a lot of quibbles right now, Patrick. I got a lot of quibbles for being an E-drone like I supposedly am. I got a lot of quibbles. Right. Their booking has become too obvious and too predictable. Predictability can be good, but... Punk didn't win the Rumble. He was probably just going to go on and win Elimination Chamber. Like, everyone said, oh, yeah, it's going to be Cody versus Roman. It's going to be Punk versus Rollins in November. And if it turned out that way, is that good? I don't think it is. And Bayley winning the Rumble, like everybody said for months, Bayley was going to win the Rumble and face Io. And if that's what happens, like, is that good? I don't know. Like, I just feel like you do need some twists and turns. You need twists and turns along the way that don't just lead you to the same place you would have gotten to anyway. Like, you need twists and turns along the way that actually does a few things that people didn't expect. And I feel like right now we're a little too chalk in WWE. And maybe that's just because we're too smart and I don't know, but it just feels too chalk to me. It feels like, you know,
like the 49ers. This kind of brings me back to one of the other things that I started to really think about. Maybe this is true. Maybe I'm finally on board with the who are the real true sort of quote unquote stars amongst the men's division right now that are legitimate after, like, our WrestleMania main event kind of quote unquote stars right now that we would all buy into that came out of that Royal Rumble. Because that was the thing I sat there, and as I look at this list and I'm reading through these names and I'm trying to see, okay, so everybody knew CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. Those two are no doubters. Was there anyone else? Because we still don't know what to do with Gunther. Frankly, Gunther should be the twist. Like, Gunther should be the one to take on Seth Rollins. Period. Absolutely. Like, it's time. He's had the Intercontinental Championship long enough. You make him the third person to hold them both at the same time. That's what you do.
Who was the third? Who was the second?
Triple H.
Oh, but then it disappeared when he won it.
Was that?
But then it got merged into the world title when he won it anyway. So,
but it's technically true. But anyway, it's enough of an unprecedented thing that you can either argue it's the second or you can argue it's the third. But you have him not lose the Intercontinental title. You have him win you have him win the world championship from Seth Rollins, and you have him give up the title. You have, like, once this decision by Cody is made, to me it's Gunther, and then there's nobody else. Because the rest of this list that I'm looking at, there are a lot of, sure, those can be main event guys, but they're not WrestleMania main event guys, in my opinion. Like, people are going nuts over Drew McIntyre. No. No,
I will say that no. Monday's promo was the first one of his I've believed in like 3 years.
Right. You're also the guy who in a private message said you're not going to be fooled by one good promo after years of bad promos. So I'm going to live on that a little bit. Now, if it's a Becky Lynch situation where he turns a thing into a great thing, more power to him, because it's not that he's not talented in the ring. It's not that he doesn't.
He just has to be willing to be a bad guy.
Right.
Like, you know how,
because right now there's no,
you know how, like, a lot of times bad guys, villains, they think they're right. Yeah. Drew is trying to portray himself not as if he thinks is right, but if he actually is right. And there's a right. difference, and hopefully people understand the difference. I know you will, but he's actually trying to portray himself as, no, I'm actually right. I don't just think I'm right. Until the rot, like I don't think that he prayed for CM Punk's injury. That to me sounded like an actual villainous thing for him to say for once.
Right. But yeah, so I'm looking through this. Sure, Finn Balor, maybe, but he's been a second banana in the Judgment Day for a while now, ever since Rhea Ripley kind of became the dominant force there.
Right.
Bobby Lashley's been sort of just like, he's an upper midland. And again, it's another one like, maybe okay. You know, the guys that worked the, you know, maybe LA Knight, maybe. I love AJ, but I don't know. Like, it's just, there's a lot of right. folks where you just don't feel great, in my opinion, you just don't feel great about them being, like, even if they were the backup plan, like, if, you know, if freaking, if Cody Rhodes gets hit by a bus tomorrow,
they're fucked.
Like, yeah, what are you doing?
There, because well, that brings up. I want to answer your question, but it's going to bring up some other things too. So,
sure.
Let me play this first. Hang on.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Actually, let me play this first before I get completely off the rails.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
What do you guys want to talk about?
So I want to talk about what you just asked. And that is the who. So who's who, in my opinion? All think
the if, Monster Energy AMA Supercross season
happened again. And it's the same commercial. Today. That's the best part. That it's the same commercial. So let me go back. Monster Energy so Motocross coming to Phoenix, by the way. February 10th. There's a lot of stuff going on February 10th. So I want to answer your question. If WrestleMania were this weekend and injuries happen and whatever, who could realistically main event WrestleMania? And I want to tell you who I think those people are. Roman Reigns, obviously. Cody Rhodes, right? These are two guys that main event last year. Seth Rollins, injury notwithstanding. Randy Orton. Congratulations to those four gentlemen.
You just made the list.
That's the list of who could.
That's not good.
Now, the list that you just gave, AJ Styles, LA Knight, Bob Lashley, I'll throw Drew McIntyre in there. Okay. And I'll throw Finn Balor in there because he's been at that level before. Given the time they have between now and WrestleMania, they could be there by WrestleMania time. I'd throw Sami Zayn in there too.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Sami. What about KO? He's hurt.
Kevin Owens, and he's main evented WrestleMania, but it was with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I'm leaving one guy out on purpose. I'm leaving Logan? The Austrian out on purpose.
You're leaving who out?
I'm leaving the Austrian guy out on purpose. That's Gunther.
Here's another one. I'm sorry. Whether you like him or not, Logan Paul could main event.
Oh, absolutely. And Logan Paul is kind of that weird outlier too. But yes, right. Logan Paul, in all honesty, with all due apologies to Logan Paul, I now need to make my initial list of 4 or 5.
You just made the list.
Because I would put Logan Paul in that group because you could slot him in there now. And that is all credit to Logan F. Paul for what he's been able to do, because whatever he's lacking in ability, which is not much, whatever he's lacking, I'll say this, charisma, whatever he's lacking in experience, he makes up in two ways. Number one, which is how good he is. And so basically he's missing 15 years of experience. Okay. We'll just call it 15. We'll call it 10 years. He's missing 10 years of experience that he would probably need before he could main event WrestleMania. Well, he makes up 5 of it in terms of his own personal progression and how quickly he's picked up the Miz. He makes up the other 5 in charisma and personality.
You know who he reminds me of? In a different way.
Who's that?
But Randy Orton was all charisma and growth early in his career and was able to main event WrestleManias early in his career.
I would love X-Pac is like Sean Waltman's like one of your dream people to interview. I would give I'd give a testicle. I'm not having kids anymore.
So interview Randy Orton. Absolutely.
Oh God. I mean but to have a time. Like to do an in-depth sit-down interview with Randy Orton, not a 15-minute or I'm promoting this product and I'm going to be on there, but like an actual in-depth sit-down interview with Randy Orton, because I do think it would be amazing because it's Randy F. Orton, and he is amazing. Like he deserves every accolade he's received. He deserves all the deference he's ever received, everything, because he's Randy Orton. So I in no way can argue against that. But no, you're right. Like, but that's if we go back years in time. That might be the case a lot of years. Like last year at WrestleMania, who realistically could have main evented? It was Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. I don't think the Usos could have main evented WrestleMania without Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Right. I do think Charlotte
Flair and Rhea Ripley. You notice we didn't say Jay Uso.
Now, and Jay was the one I wanted to talk about. I think Jay is in that group that you could get there. He main evented SummerSlam.
Probably. Yeah,
he may have been a SummerSlam, but that was because of Roman Reigns. But anyone in that spot's going to wrestle Roman Reigns, and so that's a sunk cost, right? Like it's not changing. Like Roman's going to be there, unless he gets hit by a bus. But I don't think he's going to get hit by a bus. He's not going to wrestle between now and then. Maybe that's a good thing given everything they got going on. But so I do think it's that on the women's side, you got Becky Lynch, you got Rhea Ripley. I don't even know that Bayley could main event WrestleMania tomorrow, despite having just won the Royal Rumble. She never had a singles match at WrestleMania, but I do think she could get there. I think she'd be in that second tier of people.
Right.
Charlotte's not there, so she can't. Asuka, not in current form because she's a tag team wrestler, but I think Asuka could be believable for the fans to buy into her being there. So there's a lot of those people. But I do want to talk about what you brought up. Because I've heard other people use this online since I've said it. I'm not saying they stole it from me, but it's just, you know, similar thoughts. I would classify Seth Rollins as questionable if we were doing an NFL injury report. I don't think he's locked in for WrestleMania. I really, truly don't. And I know a lot of people think Cody's going to show up on SmackDown on Friday and pick Roman Reigns, and the promo that they did on Monday was just to get Cody on TV and build up some suspense, just like the Gunther promo the week before. I don't think we're going to know who Cody's challenging for a little bit. And I think they're going to wait until they know exactly what's happening with Roman. And here, the Rock match may actually not be off the table, even though Cody won the Rumble. Like the plan might have been to go with Cody and Seth all along. And do Punk and somebody else, and maybe Punk and Drew McIntyre. Like everyone just assumes that these things were going to happen, but we don't really know that these things were going to happen. So it's entirely possible that everything that I've been banging the table for years, that Roman's going to pass Hogan, he's going to lose at WrestleMania 41, might actually still be true despite Cody winning his second straight Rumble match. And that Cody was always going to wrestle Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 40. We'll never know. We'll know because people will fake tell us and report it as news. But I think right now they've got to, they can't, because you might need Cody on the other side of things with WrestleMania. If Rollins can't go, I think you got to go with Cody and Gunther for the world heavyweight, for like a vacant world heavyweight championship. Maybe Cody, Gunther, and Damian Priest, if you have Priest cash in. Like maybe if they say, okay, Rollins is not going to be able to do it, they do a Damian Priest cash in, he takes the title off of them, and then Priest goes into WrestleMania as a champion. Do you do Priest and Cody? Like, do you do Gunther and Priest? I think you need them both in there with Damian Priest to be a sellable match. Now, that could make Priest a star moving forward. Like, I'd almost have Priest win the match, the three-way.
Can you imagine the internet reaction to that?
It wouldn't be in the main event anyway. It'd be in the middle of the show. It'd be like that middle main event or semi-main event.
No, I'm just saying you put that three-way match out there that you described and Cody doesn't finish the story again.
But here's the thing. Delicious. If this really happens and The Rock wrestles Roman in WrestleMania Night 2, Cody's going to finish the story next year.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to feel real stupid because when Cody won the Rumble, I was like, okay, I was wrong. Cody's going to go to WrestleMania 40 and beat Roman Reigns.
No, great.
You can't have Cody lose to Roman twice in a row.
No, you really can't. But I really wanted you to just double down on that hope and be right. Just to be right.
It could still happen.
Until you were wrong.
It could still happen.
Be right until you're wrong, my friend.
And I'm also not sold that the Punk injury changed everything because I'm not sold that Punk was going to be walk in and handed a main event because of the message that it sends to everybody else. If you're Bob Lashley and CM Punk is handed a main event and you've never had one, Bob got to retain the world championship at WrestleMania. It was the opening match of night one of WrestleMania 27. That was done so Drew McIntyre could be the first one out, but Bob still won the match. He beat Drew. And it's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of things that are there, but I just can't believe there would be so chalk going into WrestleMania anyway, despite the injuries. But then again, I'm not the target audience. The target audience, those casual fans, they don't care if it's chalk. Like I'm settling into the playlist mentality is what I'm doing.
I laughed how you've come so full circle on this whole conversation from where you started to where you're just now getting to the, I'm not the guy they're making this show for.
Well, and I've always viewed because I do feel like WrestleMania is a little more like they try to incorporate some things for the hardcore fan at WrestleMania because they do buy the tickets and do the travel to get there. And so they do have those elements. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the
main event. And who says they won't?
Of course they will. They booked those tickets a long time ago. And they've done. I saw one guy who literally booked only night two of WrestleMania because the only thing he wanted to see was Cody beat Roman Reigns. And every time I say it was going to be The Rock or Roman Reigns, he's like, stop it. I don't want to have to sell my tickets. And now obviously it's up in the air and he's all worried. But The Rock might still be the plan, dude. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's... Who knows? Who knows when this stuff is happening? What's going to happen? We don't know. And Greg, it's as we record this, it's January 31st.
It is. We still got April's 2 still months
a little.
Plus.
It's a little ways away. Yep. You got time.
2 months.
And a lot can happen.
Got a whole other pay per view in 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
We do. Which one that I will watch because it's not a place that I have concerns about. So
absolutely.
I got one other. This is just kind of this is completely off topic.
If you're gonna go off topic, then I have to do this.
What do you guys want to talk about?
But I want to stay within the men's Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Was it just me or was Bronson Reed the most disappointing entrant into the Royal Rumble? For a dude that was in there for 10 and a half minutes, I was left thoroughly wanting more.
I just think it was a factor of all the other stuff they wanted to do. Like, you just can't do it all.
But you could do something. It just felt like he was there.
I will say, Bronson Reed, he's easily overshadowed. He's big. He's good in the ring. Right. But there's not much else. Like, when he was in Japan, he was like in the lower third of a faction.
Yep.
And not a major faction. And when he was in WWE before that, like, he got to the North American Championship level in NXT, and that was it. I don't even know if he ever challenged for the NXT Championship. Definitely not on a takeover or whatever they call the takeover events now. Because, I mean, I know what they call them, but they don't call them takeover. They all have their own name. To me, okay. I got to preface with a few things. Everyone knows, if you've paid attention to me, usually on Twitter, as believable of a as legitimate of a badass as Karrion Kross is, I don't believe a single thing the guy does in the, like, ever. His character is terrible. The performer is great. The character sucks. I used to joke when he was, you know, in NXT, I was like, no one even pays tolls anymore. No one, everyone's digital now. Nothing goes TikTok. Like, what are we doing? Like the Doomsday bullshit. And now the Final Testament, like, I just don't like any of it. And I liked his presentation in NXT initially, but then it was like, here we go again. Like, why are you in black and white? Like, it's a 4K TV. Like, why is this guy in black and white? Like, what the hell is going on? Paul Ellering should be managing Bronson Reed. Like, he needs a mouthpiece.
I agree with that sentiment.
And he needs, because I do think he could get to that level of at least a Fastlane world title challenger. He could have the Cody Rhodes Shinsuke Nakamura feud, that main event, or the Shinsuke Nakamura Seth Rollins feud that spans multiple pay-per-views and is the main event. He could challenge for a world title in Saudi Arabia. He could challenge for a world title at the Royal Rumble. He could challenge for a world title at Survivor Series. But he doesn't have that edge that having a manager like a Paul Ellering would give him. And I also, people would think I fucking hate Triple H. I also think that's another drawback of Triple H. He wants to believe in this NXT talent so much that I think sometimes he sticks with it too long, like a Karrion Kross. Like to quote the great, I'm using air quotes, great Hulk Hogan, Karrion's not the guy, brother. Like, he's just not. At least, and what's funny is if you go into social media, there's like pictures of him like on some island somewhere, bald head wearing a suit. And I'm like, that's the guy. Like the bald headed assassin wearing a suit. That's the guy.
Yep.
Like, he's Jason Statham. Make him Jason Statham in WWE. Pretty much every Jason Statham character in any movie he's in. And I think he would get over and could be a major player. But this Doomsday bullshit? No, it's just not. But like, it stopped being believable when The Undertaker stopped being gay spooky.
The Undertaker.
As we would call it. Like, it's just not working for me now. Maybe it'll work long term. Like it pains my heart to see Bob Lashley and the Street Profits giving those guys anything. And I like the Authors of Pain. And I don't dislike Karrion Kross, what he could be. I just think this character is never going to make it. And if it does make it to the top, people will fucking hate it by the time it gets there. Like, they will be shitting all over it. Like it's Bron Breakker. That was a question I had for you. Did we finish answering your questions though? About,
I think so. I think you answered my Bronson Reed question.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Okay. So my next question, Bron Breakker, because I've seen a lot of people suggest that Bron Breakker should be the guy to beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. That Bron should win the Elimination Chamber. I'm loving what I'm seeing right now at a Patrick O'Dowd. Loving what I'm seeing right now at a Patrick O'Dowd. You don't like the idea?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't either. Tell me why.
This is people blowing their load over 5 minutes and 19 seconds on a
These people saw him in NXT. These are definitely people that watch him.
These people assume too much about a guy coming up. Like, no, he's not the right answer. That is not what you do with him, in my opinion. Like, that is the definition of hotshotting a title. Like, bring him up 2 months, hotshot him to a wrestle. You talk about people being pissy about CM Punk getting a main event. You bring up Bron Breakker, put him in a main event at WrestleMania in 2 months, and have him win the world title off of Seth Rollins, who's been just an aces champion for the company since he won the fucking belt. You think that's the right answer? Like, you don't think that will hurt a locker room? No, that's a terrible idea. That dude should be coming in and running roughshod through the roster for about 7 to 8 months. And then win the United States title and become the next Gunther, but in a different way.
I would love to see Bron Breakker not even have a WrestleMania match, but just come out and destroy somebody at some point. Like,
if you're going to, if you're going to have Bron Breakker surprisingly beat somebody, you have to beat Gunther. That's what I would do.
I think, remember last year they did the WrestleMania showcase matches? They were all tag matches. They were four-way tag matches. I could see a singles version of that with your Bronson Reeds, with your Bron Breakers. That's where Bron just gets a ricochet, throw him in there. Like that's where Bron, I think, could go off and have his moments. It wasn't that long ago that the NXT crowd was chanting Bron Breaker sucks to the tune of John Cena. Not the John Cena sucks that people chant now out of respect for John Cena. The John Cena sucks that they chanted when they actually hated John Cena. Why did they hate John Cena, Patrick? What was the phrase that was basically invented for John Cena with the internet fan base?
John Cena was being shoved down our throats.
Sure would sound like Bron Breakker was being shoved down our throats if he debuts on SmackDown this Friday, which seems like it's going to happen. And they try to pretend like he didn't beat Dolph Ziggler on Raw a couple years ago for the NXT Championship, but I digress. If from his debut on SmackDown to WrestleMania, he becomes a world champion, they will be back to chanting Bron Breakker sucks, and they will be hating Bron Breakker because they would say Bron Breakker's being shut. They were saying that when he initially debuted. He won the fans over. Then he turned heel and won them over again. And and he turned heel on Melo.
Kids, you got to let him marinate. If you're going to bring him up, you got to let him marinate. And hotshotting him to a title 2 months after he debuts is not letting him marinate. And the people who are calling for that are the same people who would be pissed if it wasn't, quote unquote, their guy. Like, this just feels like an our guy sort of thing. And is he really your guy? Or is he just the guy in the moment?
I like the fact people want to see the guy succeed. Because he's a great example of, like, we want new stars. And, like, WrestleMania 21, when everybody was like, we want somebody new, and then it was John Cena, they were like, not that guy. That would have been Braun. People would have been like, not that guy.
Right.
But now we like Braun. And that's, and dude, he runs 23 miles an hour in the ring or whatever. Like, he's doing things that we haven't seen before. That's impressive. Like, that's amazing. It's kind of like, honest, and this is, again, he doesn't do all the same things, but the way he hits and the way he strikes, if you took Loki and shoved a tire pump up his ass and pumped it a 400 times, I think you'd have Bron Breakker. Like,
maybe.
He doesn't do all the same stuff as Loki, but the Loki would run the ropes like crazy and hit people. And
yeah.
And there are some things that Bron Breakker did, especially with Carmelo Hayes, like ways that he hit that spear. It's probably the best spear in wrestling. Like, all deference to my and your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Because Edge of Spear kind of sucks now anyway. But Bron Breakker spear, damn good spear. Like, seriously, damn good spear. But again, don't need to rush it. Now, maybe they go big multi-man match. They haven't done a multi-man match for the world title in a while at WrestleMania.
It's true.
I'd be cool with Bron being in a multi-man match. Not winning it.
Right.
But I'd be cool with Bron. Because they might have to do a multi-man match to minimize the use of Seth Rollins. And maybe that's how they get him through a WrestleMania match. He may not be able to pull off a one-on-one. Now, he's going to want to. And part of the reason he's going to want to is because Cody did it. But Cody probably shouldn't have. Like, let's be honest.
Right.
But at the same time, when you flip it around, like, injuries are very different. And the problem with Seth, he's got a knee injury. And so other body parts compensate for the knee, including your back. Oh, he's got a back injury. So it's like injuries exacerbating other injuries. Not really a good idea. Like,
that boy needs a vacation.
He does. He does. Two other things about that. The promo that Seth Rollins cut on Raw, when he was talking about this is a Dusty title, this is a workhorse title, kind of right and kind of true. And if you remove the finish the story bullshit, which Cody himself says he wished he never said that line. Like,
right. Because it's following him everywhere, man. It's following you everywhere you go, whether you want it to or not. Because people, wrestling fans are going to go.
They are.
But anyway, that's beside the point.
And Cody still... And here, when Cody said the finish the storyline, this World Heavyweight Championship didn't even exist. It was a year away from existing. Roman had just merged the titles the night before at WrestleMania in Dallas when he beat Brock. So yeah, Cody was talking about the WWE Championship because it was the only one that existed. Had Cody said he wanted to win the World Heavyweight Championship from the jump, nobody would care if he wasn't facing Roman. this might be a case where they actually need Cody to carry that title.
Right.
But Gunther would be a hell of an option too. And I think the fan base is ready for Gunther to be world champion. I do. I think they've seen enough of him. He does it so well. He speaks well enough, despite English not being his primary language, all of that. Like, Gunther is would work out. But how do you make Gunther? You might need a Cody to make Gunther. You might need something like that. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm interested. I'm interested to see how it goes.
When Cody wins his title, how long does he hold it?
Which title?
Let's say he does what everybody is expecting him to do right now. Let's say he does go after Roman and gets his win.
He walks into WrestleMania 41 as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
For a year.
So at least a year.
And if he wins Seth, do you think it's less?
It is less, because then I think he walks into WrestleMania 41 challenging for Roman Reigns' undisputed sure. WWE Universal Championship. Sure. I think by the gotcha. End of WrestleMania 41, Cody will be the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Whether he carries gotcha. It in or whether he's taking it off of Reigns on that night, I think he will ultimately hold that title there. He's going to finish a story. He's going to finish it at 40. He's going to finish it at 41. But based on the Rollins promo, I think that if they were to have Cody challenge for Rollins' title, to me, Cody and the WWE would sell that as him finishing the story. And yes. most of the fan base would buy it.
And then the sparks will shit on it. But, nah, you know,
I don't care. They, of course they would. That's what they do. But they'd be wrong. They'd be wrong. Let's play the other commercial break real quick so we can move that along too.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Okay. So we've had a lot of fun with Cody Rhodes. And what do you guys want to talk about? And it felt like the right way to do this episode. So I want to go back. Well, first of all, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
No, I think we've put together a pretty solid hour or so. I don't even know where we are.
45.
45?
For when I started recording.
Huh.
Which was, I don't even remember what we were talking about. I started recording. Okay. So I want to go back and cover a couple things. Number one. Will we see Jordan Grace in WWE?
Oh, yes.
Should we see Jordan Grace at WrestleMania 40?
Oh.
Not will we, should we?
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I don't hate it at all.
So after the 2020, during the 2020 Royal Rumble, I was tweeting like, let Mickie James defend the Knockouts title on Raw tomorrow, you cowards. Probably wanted her to defend it against Natalya. After the 2024 Royal Rumble, I was like, let Jordan Grace defend the Knockouts championship on Raw, you cowards. Probably against Natalya. Like, and Natalya was calling for it. So.
Yeah, they tweeted each other, so you got that.
And I feel like that was a missed opportunity. Dollar, like, so. Like, we didn't need the Kabuki Warriors in a tag match on Raw anyway, so... And just against being the former champions. Like, what was weird. So the Kabuki Warriors have their match on Raw. We go to commercial yep. and then Bayley makes her entrance completely separate of them. Like, I feel like those two elements should have gone together. And Dakota Kai was introduced as was literally on the graphic as being with them and was nowhere to be seen. It's just weird things. Kind of like how you point out Rhea Ripley never comes out with the Judgment Day. And she didn't go out with the Judgment Day on Monday on Raw, but went out on her own. Oh, man, I don't get it, but it's not that much of a hindrance. I think that the silly, stupid Forbidden Doors, as Triple H called it during the press conference, I would love to see Jordan Grace defend that championship at WrestleMania. I just think it would be, you really want to show people that you're willing to do this kind of stuff. Like, now, real estate's very premium at WrestleMania, so who knows? But hey, we've had a bunch of injuries. Case of emergency, break glass.
Jordynne Grace. Right. I really wanted her to have that match on Raw. Like, I feel like that's something that they would have done back in the Ruthless Aggression era, that sort of thing. Like when they had all the luchadors wrestle in the Royal Rumble back in the late 90s, didn't have people. They then put them in a 6-man tag match the next day on Raw. Like, little things like that. That I just think that would have been a nice element. Would have been good for her, but whatever. It's a playlist. It's a playlist item. I would love to see Jordynne Grace at WrestleMania, obviously. Okay. What should they do with what should they do with the two men's world titles at WrestleMania?
I'm going to double down on, I think that Gunther should challenge Seth, and I think Cody should beat Roman.
What if The Rock is actually there, though? What if The Rock is actually involved?
Oh, if The Rock is there, then it's no question. Cody takes on Seth, and The Rock takes on Roman. And people will be mad because I don't think Seth and Cody should go on last on night one. I agree with you. I think they should WrestleMania 8 it, and it should be the Macho Man Randy Savage Ric Flair main event spot. Right smack dab in the middle, kind of in that spot that you always love for your sweet spot for a wrestling show anyway, where it's a peak before you bring them down for a lesser peak or another peak with maybe your Becky Rhea Ripley match.
Yeah, I agree. I don't even think Punk and Rollins should have main evented night one. I just, as much as I love Seth, I still think that, you know, let Priest cash in, let Rollins win the Royal Rumble and have Rollins challenge Roman would have been my ideal scenario. Take The Rock out of it.
Right.
I think that Rollins, Roman, because Roman hasn't beat
Priest
Seth
finally. When does Priest finally cash in? Does he cash in at Mania?
I mean, you definitely could. You definitely could. My fantasy booking was that you make the men's Royal Rumble match for the World Heavyweight Championship, and whoever wins it, Damian Priest immediately cashes in and beats them for the title.
Right.
Because again, I think the briefcase gives Priest enough credibility to walk into WrestleMania as champion. Can you pull off the WrestleMania cash in as well as you've done it before?
No. Do we throw back and does he cash in an Elimination Chamber?
Maybe.
Because to me, of all the times when you can cash in on a vulnerable champion, Elimination Chamber is one of the top two places where it makes
and that's
sense.
Where the first ever cash in happened.
Yeah, it was. Cashing in on Cena.
Called that, but yeah. So that's definitely, and you give the Australian crowd, which now has no Punk, no Rollins, no Roman, no whatever, you know, a world title change. So.
Isn't it funny? Sorry, this is where my brain is tonight. How different that first cash in ever was versus like,
yeah, because like Vince came out and announced it. He was like, wait, stop! We're not going over here. Like, yeah, because they didn't know what they were doing, like they do now.
Right. And was Van Damme the second one where he just was like, I don't even need to wait. This is what I'm gonna like. He cashed it in ahead of time as a match.
Who won at 22? It might have been Van Damme. Yeah. Well, yeah, he used it for ECW One Night Stand. So.
Right. But it's just, I actually wish we'd see that again. Like somebody use their Money in the Bank title shot.
And again, if we make, you know, if we have to do multi-man for Rollins, why not have Priest? Because Priest, he's kind of always complaining, right? Priest, it would be believable for Priest to be like, no, I want to. This is how I want my title shot. I don't want to attack somebody. Like, you're going to eventually put the rift in the Judgment Day anyway, and Priest would be the one, I think, to go here. Well, him or Balor, one of the two. But he's also got the tag titles. Like, what the hell? So maybe night one tag titles, night two? I don't know. But then you're putting both world title matches on night two. But they put both women's championship matches on night one last year. So
I was right. Rob Van Dam won it the second time.
Second time? Okay. And then did it start with the whole Punk thing, or maybe Mr. Kennedy was going to?
Nope.
Kennedy
was next. Punk was in 2008. Punk was in 2009. Yeah. Swagger.
Oh, God, that's right. I was like, who was in 2010 as if we didn't see it happen?
That was
And then in 2010, they had the pay-per-view, too. Like, they literally had three Money in the Bank briefcase holders in 2010. Or maybe it was just two. I don't know. It's funny. As much as I love the Seth Rollins cash-in, because I called it the moment he took the briefcase, I still struggle between his and the Miz's cash-ins as which one's the best, because the Miz's was just so great when it happened.
The Miz's, I still feel was so epic. Like, the way that cash-in happened, so great.
Because you just, even though Orton was now hurt by the attack, the music still surprised people. And it just worked, and it was on a Raw, and yeah. Sometimes it's good to wait a long time to cash in, and sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, did they know, like, when they give somebody the briefcase, do they know what they're doing with it? And I don't think the answer is always yes at all.
Right.
They gave it to Priest.
To me, it feels like they still don't know, man.
And maybe they did know, but now everything's changed because of injuries and what. I will say this to go back to what we were talking about with the WrestleMania main events. The Rock has said, we're still working on it. We're still thinking about it. No, they know if The Rock is wrestling at WrestleMania. They know if it's a yes, they know. There's nothing still in negotiation. There's none of that. Like, they already know if it's going to happen or not. It is not up in the air. It is a known thing. I think they kind of know. If they don't know what they're doing at WrestleMania, they're going to know soon. That's kind of my...
This time is running out.
My thing. Yes. That time is most definitely running out. All right, I got one more thing.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
I never watch the post pay-per-view press conferences. I just never do.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. For some crazy ass reason, I watched the Royal Rumble one. When I was sitting there, Royal Rumble was over. I was finishing up my article, which Patrick O'Dowd was featured in, and getting it posted to thechairshot.com. And so I watched it. And I thought Bailey's portion of the press conference was great. I mean, she was very much out of character. It was good. Cody's was funny in a way where Cody started off and he was just like, I hate when a wrestler sits up there and tells you people, you said I'm not, I am the guy, you know, like I really am the guy. Like Cody kind of was like, he was talking about the internet haters. Like Cody should be above that. And then he talked about something that was sent to him by his friend, Sean Ross Sapp. Like I would have released Cody right then and there if I were Triple H for talking about Sean Ross Sapp while sitting there at a press conference. SRS not there from what I could tell, by the way, but like Cody's kind of an internet guy and I didn't realize it. Like get off that shit, dude. Like you're fucking Cody Rhodes. Like you just won two straight world. You think Stone Cold Steve Austin was an internet guy? No. Look at the two time Rumble winners.
Internet was a thing.
Hogan, Michaels, Austin, Rhodes. Like those are names and Cody needs to not give a shit about the internet. Cause he literally has the opportunity to go down as one of the all time greats.
But
don't be a young buck.
But that's a generational thing, man. Like he's part of that generation of person, though. What?
He's like 38.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Roman doesn't give a shit about the internet. He's 37. Yeah, but
Roman. I don't know, man. I got nothing for you. I'm sorry that Cody Rhodes follows the internet like most of the population on the planet.
Following it and caring about it to the point where you're giving it credibility are two different things.
Again, you are looking this through the Greg DeMarco lens and not through how most people look through themselves on the internet.
I don't look at most things.
Believe you me, too many people, like you take pride in being blocked and being, you know, irritating.
I don't think I take pride in being blocked, but it's like, I just like, all right. Man up.
Right. You nothing burger a lot of what people tweet at you or about you, and that is not a common thing. Like that is not
you're right about that.
A common thing.
But what I want to talk about with this whole press conference and the Cody thing just popped into my head. And I think there Cody also referenced hating the finish the storyline. And it's funny too, because Cody was like, it's pretty obvious I'm gonna challenge Roman. And he pointed at Roman, and then next night he's cutting a promo with Seth. So who knows what's really happening here. Triple H then goes up there and he talks about a lot of great things. He talked glowingly about Jordynne Grace, talked glowingly about Nia Jax, like literally was putting her over like crazy. And someone finally asked him the question about Vince McMahon. And he kind of nothing burgers it to say what you said. And talked about how he was finding out just like everybody else, whatever. Some people bought it and some people hate it. And even if you didn't see it, I know you heard about it. Like, what do you think Triple H should have done? And what he did could be the answer. But what do you think?
Well, here's the thing is he can't answer the question.
Right.
Like he can't. And it's up to a good journalist to ask the question. Like I do believe that, though. And I don't know who asked the question of him. I know there was a lot of Twitter kerfuffle over just even the quality of journalist at the press conference, which
it was all the online
whatever. What's that?
It was all the online winks. Like that's who. That's it.
But that's what the wrestling news media basically is.
Yeah. Fox Sports doesn't give a shit to send a reporter there.
Like, what's that?
Fox Sports doesn't give a shit to send a reporter to the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Like,
and that's the thing is the WWE is not to a point like the WWE is good enough to be covered by an article of what happened on major outlet,
mm-hmm.
you know, sports websites. Like,
and the an ESPN guy did ask a question, as did a guy from the Ringer. The Ringer, The Athletic, and ESPN all had people ask questions at this press conference.
Right.
I think one of them might have even been the one that asked about Vince. I don't know.
And so it's a fair question, and it's a question he's going to be asked, but it's also a question he's not going to answer. Right. Like, he answered that basically the way I would expect anybody who is representing the company to answer. I think he could have been a little more tactful. I think he honestly could have just, you know, said this is, you know, that is a horrible, did people want him to denounce Vince McMahon? Is that really what they wanted him to do? Is like, just to
some people think he knows it. Some people think he was part of it all and that he was enabling it.
That's horribly irresponsible. And unless you have something that actually has come out of all those court documents in terms of evidence, you are projecting your own dislike of Triple H onto him by accusing him of something as horrible as sex trafficking. And in, like, there is still, honestly, there's a burden of proof, especially with nothing surrounding the guy.
Right.
Like, I don't know what Triple H's reputation backstage when he started to climb the corporate ladder so much and be much more involved on the business side of the company. We know about immature DX Triple H. Yes. We know about the click. That's not sex trafficking. Like, that's, you know, a bunch of horrible, immature shit that was being done in politicking for
but will be used the against company. Them.
Right. But like we have a released set of court documents with a lawsuit and information and allegations, and nowhere in there is the name Paul Levesque listed. So to speculate that he was involved is tinfoil hat behavior at its finest. It's possible. And I do think I don't know. And it's not fair to say this is, you know, in any way, shape or form definitive. It's possible that he knew what Vince was up to. Heck, it may even be likely, but we don't know. And again, there's nothing in there that implicates him as being someone who does know. Like, is anybody going after Stephanie? Is anybody going after Shane? Is anybody going after Linda? No, because they're his direct family and they think they were wronged or their reputation was wrong. There's something about Trips because he was already kind of a generally assumed unlikable dude and viewed as this, like throughout his career has been viewed as this politicking manipulative shithead that we have a group think that is like, oh, he must have been involved. He must have been offered this secretary, clerk, executive assistant, whatever the fuck they call that position. You know, never mind that there's nothing there. And if evidence comes out tomorrow, you know, in some other separate lawsuit, because as was pointed out on Conrad Thompson's podcast with Eric Bischoff, $12 million in payouts happened. $3 million is now accounted for. That's right. $9 million that's not accounted for.
Well, and this person only got $1 million of her $3 million. Right. And that's the only reason why this came out.
The point was, yeah. But basically, you know, and this is, again, all just sort of what you've heard around. So something may come out, and we may eventually learn that Triple H was a big piece of shit and involved in sex trafficking. Until we do, we shouldn't be saying that he was or speculating that he was. It's irresponsible. And here's the thing. And if you're on a podcast saying shit like that, you're a fucking bad podcaster.
And I may be a bad podcaster, but I'm just giving my personal opinion. I think we don't even know the worst of what Vince McMahon did.
No, not at all. We're not even close.
Because Mike McGurk was a ring announcer and a referee, and there's like rape allegations that came out about that a long time ago. Many people have turned a blind eye towards Vince McMahon over the past 35, 40 years. Many a people have turned a blind eye towards many of things they've seen at their workplace. They've seen their boss do. They've seen their CEO, their president do. You know why? Because they need their job. They need their paycheck. And it's real easy for a keyboard warrior to sit there and be like, how dare you not blow the whistle, screen this, that, or whatever, when you're flipping burgers at a job you hate. But like, sometimes people are like, look, I put my family, my top, my well-being, my bills, whatever, at the top of the pyramid, and everything else is going to be secondary. And some people will do that over self-preservation. Is it the highest of morality thing to do? No. Is it the most realistic thing that people do? Yeah, it is. It sucks, but it's what people do because they still have a family to feed. All right. They go home and they tell their kids they can't go to Disney World this year for Christmas because they told on their boss. The kids are gonna be like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, now we have to move into a smaller house. Like, there's just, it's super easy to be, you know, of the highest moral character when you're still living in your mom's house. Like, it's just when you have adult responsibilities, you're just gonna think differently. And right or wrong, I'm not here to say if it's right or wrong. I'm here to say it's the way it is. There are plenty of people who knew what Vince was doing and said nothing. And that's it. I love people that were saying that Vince would be eradicated from WWE history. Chris Benoit's matches are still on the network.
Right.
Like, they don't talk about it. They don't put them in the description, but still there. You can't tell the story of WWE without Vince McMahon. Just like you can't tell the story of WWE without Hulk Hogan. Like, they're not going to erase him. Now, should they try to go in and find episodes of Raw where he like forced Trish Stratus to bark? Maybe. Might be a good thing trying to get rid of.
Right.
But you're not going to get rid of everything because it's, what are you going to do? Get rid of 15 years of commentary that Vince did? Like, it's just, not quite.
They're just going to go back and Michael Cole is going to read over everything that Vince said. Right.
Like, hire Kevin Patrick again. That was a suggestion, I think, on DWI. Like, hire Kevin Patrick again, and he can do these things for you. So I don't know. I'm with you. By the way, apparently Friday night on SmackDown, Corey Graves is going to be the play-by-play guy. Corey Graves is like one of my favorite commentators, and he's basically been doing 50% of the play-by-play because Kevin Patrick sucked. So the only reason that SmackDown was good in terms of commentary was because of Corey Graves. I'm okay. I'm open to hearing Corey Graves do play-by-play and tell the stories, and we may have our next great commentator for decades to come out of this. So who the hell knows? I will say this. Pat McAfee sucked on Raw. His commentary was not good.
He sucked. I'm sorry. I thought he sucked during the Royal Rumble.
He did.
He had a couple of nuggets, but you talk about somebody who clearly hasn't watched the product in a while. Yeah. That was what Pat McAfee was.
And he basically said as much on his show and talked about how he's got to get back in now and get going, and he will. But if you go back and listen to when he was on SmackDown every single week, dude was amazing. And none of that during the Rumble, none of that during Raw, but like the Rumble thing was put together like a couple days beforehand. And again, poor reporting by the internet. I read an article on Cage Side Seats, I'll even say, and they talked about how for the second straight year, Michael Cole and Corey Graves didn't know that Pat McAfee was coming out. When during Pat McAfee's entrance, Michael Cole literally said, except this time I knew about it, because Cole makes that phone call. I just thought it was like, again, but
yeah, yeah, no, that's people getting caught with their pants down.
But I don't think McAfee will suck long term. I think he just was thrust into this thing quickly and will be as great as Pat McAfee always is on everything. So I thought that was it. So there we go.
Were you the one? Sorry, last thing, and then we can go home.
Wait, no. If you're going to do it, then I got to do it.
What do you guys want to talk about?
I saw this posted, and it may have even been by you.
Okay, maybe not.
Somebody wrote something about maybe there's a little Pat McAfee fatigue going around.
That was me, and it was me.
What
because,
did you mean by that?
So his entrance at Raw got no response whatsoever. None. Mm-hmm. His Rumble entrance got a little bit, but not as much as it did at last year's Rumble or WrestleMania. Now the guy's on ESPN and he's on game day. He did the alternate commentary for the national championship game, which I think he did last year as well. Like all these, it's just like, I just think it's like, okay, it's Pat McAfee. Like he didn't need an entrance. He didn't right. need all of that. Like, honestly, they would have been better served to do a release during the day telling us that McAfee was going to be on Raw. But
shoved down our throats?
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Now, the thing about Pat McAfee...
It is a little bit of overexposure.
No one entity is shoving Pat McAfee down our throats, but all of them together are shoving Pat McAfee down our throats.
By their powers combined.
So that's why I thought the McAfee fatigue was there. But here's the thing, though. I say that, but then as you watch the rest of Raw, that crowd sucked. That crowd was terrible. That Royal Rumble crowd was terrible. And some of it was the Men's Royal. The Men's Rumble wasn't very good. And the Women's Rumble was. And again, Women's Rumble had surprise. Like so far, they've had two Royal Rumbles with, two Women's Royal Rumble matches with outside talent coming in. Have yet to do it with the men. Like,
if you were to pick... I'm sorry, we keep dragging this episode on. Before we go, one talent from TNA that you would have loved to have been a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble. A needle-moving surprise talent from TNA.
Well, Josh Alexander is just as much of a needle mover as Jordan Grace.
Yeah, I would have gone Moose.
Yeah, he is the world champion there too. So that would have been.
And I didn't even say it because he's the world champion. Like in terms of just kind of guys that it's like that, I would have been excited to see there and to see line up. Alexander would have been great. Josh Alexander would have been like the, oh, that's so great for him,
right?
And he would have been like, good for you.
Right? And if he gets a 20-minute run.
Josh Alexander would have gotten the, like, bring Josh Alexander to a one-time match at the WWE, fools.
Depends on what they did with him. If he went toe-to-toe with Gunther, people would have been like, bring Josh Alexander in the WWE. True. But, yeah, good.
Anyway.
It would have been a good for him. Good for him. The other name I'll toss out isn't signed to TNA, but he just wrestled there. And that's local hero Alexander Hammerstone. Like, that would have been fun to see. But again, commentary would have had a lot of work to do because as much as I know about Hammerstone, and most of our listeners would, that WWE audience doesn't yet. And they should, and they could. But, he would be out there and be huge. But, yeah, it's interesting because most people that are in TNA are perfect for TNA. And Naomi makes it in WWE. Deonna Purrazzo, had she gone back to WWE instead, would have been great. When Chelsea Green went to WWE, that worked. Jordan Grace, but, like... A lot of their current talent is TNA talent. Like Alex Shelley would have been cool. And he made a one-off in NXT a few years ago with Kushida. And I think the first Dusty Classic, maybe the second. Like there were names that could have worked. But yeah, for me, Moose is a great call too, though. But I still would pick Josh Alexander over Moose. The other that's great for them would have been Eddie Edwards. Like of someone who quote unquote deserves it, it would be Eddie Edwards, who would definitely deserve to have that opportunity to go out there and do that. But the only person I was upset that wasn't in the Rumble, Brock, I get he's named in a lawsuit, whatever. I love the Brock pop. I love all of that. I was really hoping for Trick Williams in the Rumble. Like now Trick Williams came out on SmackDown and everybody was going crazy because the entire crowd was chanting, whoop that trick. And people don't seem to realize it's part of his theme song. It's just like Goldberg. It's piped through the speaker, so people are going to start chanting it. Now people are like, oh, well, they were chanting it after the fact. Well, yeah, because they were just taught to. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That's how you build stars. But people are like, well, Trick's obviously a star, and everyone obviously watches NXT because they're chanting, whoop that Trick. They're chanting, whoop that Trick because it was coming through the speakers. You play it through the speakers at the Rumble, and you've got 48,000 people chanting it. And that is a fully manufactured, yet still legitimate star-making moment for Trick Williams. If 48,000 people are chanting, whoop that Trick, which someone, I think it was Ryan Katz, revealed on social media, when Trick signed with WWE, that was like his dream. That was like his thing. Like my name's going to be Trick Williams, people are going to chant, whoop that Trick. Like, and he has seen it to fruition. So good for him. 48,000 people chanting. Now they could do it next year. That's fine. But Trick's going to be a big star. Mark my words. Trick Williams will be a WrestleMania main eventer for WWE someday. I don't know how old he is, but he's got many, many years to go. But, and I'm talking like before WrestleMania 50. Okay. I'm not talking about the next three WrestleManias. Trick will be a WrestleMania main eventer someday, sometime, somehow. So who the hell, when Stardust was running around, did we really think he was ever going to main event WrestleMania? But yeah, here we are. So come on.
And here we are.
Yeah, when the Shield debuted, we could have easily seen any one of those three main event in WrestleMania. So yeah. So it just depends. You just never know. All right, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. Follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist on your social media, especially the Twitter. I'm at Greg DeMarco 44 at Chairshot Media is the website. We have not pulled anything from ProWrestlingTees.com like New Japan has with Okada. So you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Chairshot, pick up one of those Chairshot t-shirts, go visit the website, thechairshot.com. You'll love everything we have there, podcast articles, and so much more.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And until next week, because who knows what the world of wrestling is going to give us next week, we thank you for listening. Oh, by the way, I'd be remiss. I should have started the show with this, but I started the show in the middle of our conversation. Big time congratulations to our buddy Miranda Morales. Two have become three. The child was born. The kid was nice enough to wait until the Royal Rumble was over, until it was time to come out. They were able to watch it on a phone as the kid was born at like 11:48 local time Saturday night. So big congrats. Baby Mateo and Mama Miranda are both doing just fine back at home. I think they got home on Monday. So all is well. Congratulations there. Until next time, always use your head.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to...
You just made the list.
Acknowledge me.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.